funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp, subduing nations before him and making kings run in his service, opening doors before him and leaving the gates unbarred. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen one, I have called you by name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. It is I who arm you, though you know me not, so that toward the rising and the setting of the sun, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The word of the Lord.
Give the Lord glory worship the Lord in holy splendor. O tremble before him, all the earth. Say to the nations, the Lord is king. He will judge the peoples in fairness.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love, and enduring in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, before our God and Father, knowing, brothers and sisters, loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. The word of the Lord.
Like the lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life.
Alleluia, alleluia,
the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the gospel readings for the past few Sundays, we have seen our Lord on the attack, so to speak, against the Jewish religious leaders of his day. In the parable of the two sons, Christ characterizes the religious leaders as the disobedient son who fails to do the will of his father. In the parable of the wicked tenant farmers, they are the wicked men who refuse to pay the owner his share of the crop and murder his servants and his son. In the parable of the king's wedding feast, the Jewish leaders are the condemned guests who refuse the invitation to the feast. In today's gospel, we see the Jewish leaders on the counterattack. They launch their attack against Christ with carefully prepared trick questions, which they ask in public while the crowds look on and listen. Their purpose is to make our Lord discredit himself by his own words in the presence of his own followers. To understand how cleverly the trap was laid for Christ, we have to consider the historical and religious background of the time. Palestine was an occupied country, and the Jews were the unwilling subjects of the Roman Empire. The Jews bore the loss of their independence with great resentment and anger against Caesar and his occupation troops. The Pharisees hated the Romans for religious reasons and agitated the people against them. The Zealot Party were the militant extremists of the time, hating the Romans for political reasons, and their policies consisted of terrorism and assassination. On the other hand, was the Roman overlord, Caesar, and his military governors, who had to deal on a day-to-day basis with a restless and rebellious population agitated by the Pharisees, and with the constant harassment of the zealot terrorists. As the Gospels record, several false messiahs sprang up from time to time to lead a rebellion against the occupation government. The party of the Herodians, headed by King Herod of Galilee, who owed his power and position to Caesar, collaborated with the Roman occupation forces and worked closely with Rome. The Pharisees and the Zealots hated Christ because he refused to be made and used as a political messiah and would not preach violence and rebellion against the Romans. The Romans and the Herodians feared Christ because of his claim to be the Messiah. They suspected that Christ would use his power and influence over the common people to lead a new rebellion against Rome and its Jewish collaborators. In their mutual hatred for our blessed Lord, the Pharisees and the Herodians put aside their hatred for each other to combine forces and destroy Christ. Their question was, is it or is it not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? The question is a very real and perilous dilemma, because if Christ answered that it was unlawful to pay the tax, his enemies would promptly report him to the Roman authorities for promoting rebellion, and he would be arrested. If Christ said that it was lawful to pay the tax, he would completely lose his credibility with the people. For not only did the Jewish people resent taxes, as most people resent taxes, they hated it for both political and religious reasons. For the faithful Jew, God was the only king. The Jewish nation was committed to God's worship alone. Idolatry was an abomination, and contact with the pagans was an impurity. The Romans worshiped idols and called their emperors gods. They set up and worshiped the images of Caesar. Caesar's image and divine titles were stamped on the Roman coins. To pay tribute to Caesar in his coin and to use his money in the minds of the common people was to acknowledge his kingship over Israel and to accept paganism, thereby insulting and abandoning God. Whichever way Christ answered, so his enemies thought, he laid himself open to trouble. But our Lord showed forth his divine wisdom. He asked to see the coin of tribute. They handed Christ a denarius, stamped with the head of the emperor and bearing his name and his titles. Whose image is this, and whose inscription? Christ asked. Caesar's, they said. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. By simply pointing out the facts, our Lord made his questioners realize that they are not independent of the realities of life, that they are using the resources of the empire, and that they're living according to the institutions of the empire. When they pay their taxes, they are giving back something due to the emperor, something previously received and accepted from him. So their question was pointless. So what? Paying taxes is a fact of earthly life, not a declaration of religious faith. Our Lord's answer, however, is not that simple. It sets a great principle that the Jews of that day and we today have to learn. Social and earthly realities do not necessarily interfere with God's rights. Christ was not saying that the Jews could not have their independence and their own monetary system. He was saying that in the reality of that point in time, They were a part of the social, political, and economic system of the Roman Empire. Where Jewish religion was by exception respected and guaranteed by Roman law. And when God's rights are respected, then social, economic, or political questions are irrelevant from God's point of view. Christ's answer is religious. He ignores the trap of the question's political implications. Our Lord's concern and God's concern is that in whatever political situation a child of God must give to God what he is supposed to give to God. A Christian has a double citizenship. He is a citizen of the country, of the world in which he lives. To that country, he owes many things. To give a simple example, he owes all public services to the state. Defense, police, firemen, water, sanitation, power, schools, hospitals, social security, unemployment benefits, etc. This places a citizen under obligation to pay his share of the expense. Because the Christian is an honorable person, he must be a responsible citizen. And failure in good citizenship is also a failure in Christian duty. Untold troubles descend upon a country or industry when Christians refuse their part in the leadership and administration of these institutions and leave that administration to self-serving, partisan, and unchristian people. The follower of Christ has a responsibility and a duty to Caesar in return for the privileges that the rule of Caesar brings to him. However, the Christian is first and foremost a citizen of heaven. There are matters of conscience and of religion and of principle in which the responsibility of the Christian is to God and to God alone. It may well be that the two citizenships will never clash. They don't need to, and we pray that they don't. But if they do clash, it is either because the political leaders have taken to themselves the rights of God, or because religion and religious leaders have taken to themselves the rights of Caesar. St. Thomas More got himself into hot water with King Henry VIII when, as the king's counselor and as a good Catholic, he reminded the king not of what he had the power to do, but rather of what, in obedience to God, he had the responsibility to do. We have only to open our eyes today, and we can see what kinds of mayhem are let loose upon the world today when people choose to forget what they ought to do and choose instead to do what they have the power to do. Just because you can do something never makes it right or moral to do it. And that goes for doctors, lawyers, and politicians, plumbers or bricklayers, men or women, popes, bishops or priests, rabbis, mullahs or televangelists. when we stand before the throne of God to answer for our lives, we will truly know how powerful we are. My dear friends, it is and always has been the constant teaching of Christ and his church that it is the right and duty of the church and its leaders to hold and teach the faith revealed by God and the moral principles needed to carry out that faith. That it is the right and duty of all Christians to organize society and government in such a manner as to reflect the moral laws established by God and to respect and support such a society and government. And that it is the right and the duty of good government to administer, legislate, and set policy according to those same principles of God's law for the good of the people under their jurisdiction. A good Christian is at one and the same time a good citizen of his country and a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray that with the help of God's grace, we will never fail in our duty to God or to humanity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to go to all nations to proclaim his gospel and to build his church. On this World Mission Sunday, as all local churches unite in prayer and sacrifice at the table of the Lord, we ask God's blessing that through our prayers and offerings, the good news of Jesus Christ may be proclaimed to all the world.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, first missionary of the Church, and for all missionaries who give their lives to tell the glory of the Lord to the world, that they may be loving, wise, and holy witnesses of Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the leaders of nations, that they may be committed to justice for all peoples and dedicated to building a world at peace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an increase in our own missionary spirit, so that nourished by the Eucharist, we may spread the message of love of our Lord to every corner of the world by our lives, our words, and our actions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For those who have gone to be with their Lord, especially David Prosper, let us remember him in our prayers. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
We pray for the intentions of this Mass. We pray for the people of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and for the eternal repose of the souls of Pete and Minnie Gonzalez, Joe Cueva, Michael Hayes, Cindy Schumann, and Irma G. De Leon. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
And for all those prayers and intentions we offer to the Father in the silence of our hearts. For these prayers and intentions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, you bless us with the gift of faith. Increase our faith as we answer the call to take our part in the worldwide mission of your Son, building your church and loving our neighbor. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, Redeemer of the world.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, a sincere respect for your gifts, that through the purifying action of your grace, we may be cleansed by the very mysteries we serve, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changings of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder to rule in your name or over all you have made and forever to praise you in your mighty works through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins.
Do this in memory of me.
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. And graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.